Good morning, everybody. We are starting today Sefer Shmot, Sefer HaGeulah. Ele Shmot Bnei Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim Ait Yaakov Ishu Betei Ba'u. Always when we come to this parasha, I have to talk about the procedure that happened that brought Am Yisrael to be depressed and tortured under the Egyptian. And why? Because, as we always say, it's not a story. It's a truth, and it's effects that are lying behind the story. When we're talking about Pharaoh, it's a power. Pharaoh is, let's say, the king of the Tuma. Mitzrayim is Mitzrayim, Metzarim, Meitzar. When you put something in a Metzar, is when it's getting narrow and narrower, that's Mitzrayim. And when we talk about Am Yisrael, they are the symbol of going in the right way. So the question is, how did it happen that princes become slaves? Because how can you take people that one day they are the elite of the people, the high society, which were Joseph and his brothers and his children, and you make them slaves? How does it work? How does it actually happen in life? So the story is very simple. First of all, why did it happen? Because we all know Joseph saved Egypt. And when he saved Egypt, Egypt owes him. Because of him, Pharaoh became very rich, and also very powerful. And how does he pay Am Yisrael? Torturing them? Making them slaves?
Actually, it wasn't this Pharaoh. It was a different one.
So there's a whole argument if it was a different one or it was the same one, but he changed his opinion. But the idea behind it is also when he's... Let's first of all go to the procedure. What's happening is, Vayamot Yosef, Joseph died, all his brothers, and all the generation, and Am Yisrael were multiplying and getting bigger and bigger, and the whole land was full with the children of Israel. The question is, why do I need all this description? Joseph died, his brother died, the generation died, because this is the way it worked. Oral Chaim HaKadosh explains that at the beginning, when Joseph was alive, Am Yisrael were considered as the highest level of society, like princes. When Joseph died, they still looked at them in a way that they're above them, or maybe even similar to them. But when the brothers died, they were the same, and then they got lower and they become, let's say, not yet the slaves. But they become, let's say, what we are today. How do they look at Jews in the world? We are the low life. That's how they look at us. And in other words, they were princes, equal, and then went down level. So now it's ready for the next step. But one of our sages says that the real reason for all the problems was Vatimale Haaretz Otam. They were spread everywhere. What does it mean? When we talk about the ghetto, it's got a very bad, inclination. You said ghetto, it sounds bad. But the real truth is that the idea of the ghetto, the idea itself, was a Jewish idea. It was, by the way, Joseph's idea. Because Joseph, then, when you come, you will sit in Eretz Goshen. And that's a Jewish ghetto.
I'm a proud ghetto Jew.
By the way, we're talking about Ayarat Pituach. Is Ayarat Pituach a good place? Would you live in Ayarat Pituach? You wouldn't choose. But Herzliya Pituach. It's also Ayarat Pituach. Herzliya Pituach, that's the way you call it. It's funny, but that's exactly the same, the difference. There are two sides to the coin. So in the beginning, Joseph's idea was very simple. I want you to be separated from all the other people, from the goyim, so you will keep your own life, and this way you will be princes. But if you start mixing among the goyim, the most terrible thing will happen. And that's what exactly happened. In other words, it's not written Vatimale Goshen Otam. What is Vatimale Aretz? The land was full with the Jews. They were living the ghetto. They wanted a good life in with the goyim in Cairo, in Alexandria, who knows where. And what happened then?
That,
and it's not only, you know, when we talk about Germany, it's the same story. The same story exactly. Am Israel, the Jews in Germany, were the high society. My father, Allah Shalom, said always that the Jews had the majority of the money. They had all the money of Germany in their hands. Yeah. And they were the most intelligent people. You know, if you're talking about all the philosophers and all the music, everything you will find Jews. By the way, Einstein. Who was Einstein? He was a German Jew. At that same time. So we're talking about the high society of Germany. So what happened? They were starting mixing with the goyim.
And today, all over.
I'm not talking, as I said, it's not a story. It's our life, and we have to be very careful about what's going on in the world, and we have to open our eyes and see the picture. The problem in Germany is they didn't see the picture. Not all of them see. You see, my grandfather was a cattle dealer, and he was one of the biggest in the whole area. And the train used to wait for him if he was late. And he had, Baruch Hashem, money for me to live good life. He had a few houses there, and really, on the main road. One day, when the Nazis started on getting up on and being in the government, he got a law that he has to pay taxes on the cattle before he sells them. Normally,
it's after.
You take the cattle, you buy it, you sell it to the butcher. And you don't even sell it to the butcher, you give it to the butcher. I mean, that's the way it used to work. Yeah. And the butcher, after he sells it, he pays you. And from what you pay him, the profit, you pay the taxes. Yeah. So they came to my grandfather, told, you have to pay the taxes right in front.
Yeah.
So of course he didn't agree with this, and he went to the governor of the area, and he asked him, what's going on here? And they were friends. Yeah. So he told him, you know, you're going to trial, you're going to be 100% right. But believe me, what's going to happen after the trial, I'm not responsible. You have to be very careful. If you ask me, Mr. Hamburger, leave. Leave now before it's going to be too late. Now, my father didn't want to leave because he had everything there.
Yeah.
He came home and he told my grandmother. And this, by the way, whole our parsha deals with the heroic point of view from the point of view of women. We have Batya, Yochevet, the Miriam, and all we see a lot of good things that they're doing, like really standing for what they have, what has to be done. And my grandmother, Aleha Shalom, said to my grandfather, we're leaving now. He says, yes. He says, we're leaving now. And they left everything and they came. A lot of people went to the state and went there. They were Zionistic. They wanted to go to Eretz Israel. And I don't know if you know what Eretz Israel was at that time. There was nothing here.
What year was that?
When was
34, 35.
Well, they must have had when it several million.
When it happened, when it started. It was nothing here. You see, you came here. It's like for somebody that comes from the most... let's say the most fascinating land from the most advanced land to come to the desert.
Yeah.
But they did it. And they had to restart everything because I don't want to go to talk what happened to the money, what happened to the houses. That's a different story.
Well, they had to pay the British millions of...
Not only this. But a lot of things, but if we start talking about this, we'll have the whole shiur going on this.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting, but the thing is, that a lot of the Jews, you see, the idea of the Germans wasn't to kill the German Jews, because they still had something in them, because, you see, those same Jews at the First World War were fighting with them. Some of them were in very high ranks and had medals and things. So the plan was, first of all, to get rid of them. Get rid of the Jews. Leave. We don't want you here. So they made all those rules. They didn't kill Jews in the beginning. They had pogroms and things like that, but they didn't just come and kill Jews like the government or whatever. But they made it very clear, we don't want you here. Unfortunately,
they didn't listen.
They didn't listen. And that's exactly what happened in Egypt. When Muhammad opened his window in the morning and saw that the grocery shop in front of him is Grimberg, and the bank on the other side is Stern, he lost it. He says, what's going on here? Not enough. They had everything there in Goshen. Now they want to take also what we've got. And then, Vayakom Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim. A new king. A new king, Shelo Yada et Yosef. He didn't know about Joseph. Really? What history? We're talking about the king of Egypt. Don't you know the history? And it's not far, it's not 1,000 years before. We're talking about 3 generations, 4 generations. How much? 100 years? What, you don't know the history of what happened in the days of your father, of your grandfather? Of course you know. In other words, didn't want to know about Joseph. It's also very a psychology thing here when it's being ungrateful. And sometimes you're ungrateful to those who do you good. It's something in nature. You know, they speak about the Chatam Sofer, that he had this guy in town that was always talking against him and really spreading bad rumors on the Chatam Sofer. So one day, his wife sees him like thinking, says, what do you think about? I said, I'm thinking, what did I do good to this guy? He said, what do you mean you did good? The guy is talking badly on you. He says, yes. I'm sure I did something good to him, and because he owes me, he just turns it to hate. And then he found out, yes, I did something for him. And you know how true it is. If you think about it, we don't like to owe people. We don't like the feeling that somebody we leave because he gave us something. We want to be our own people. And sometimes, when somebody gives us something, instead of feeling love to him, we have this jealousy and bad feelings that sometimes can turn, unfortunately, to hate. And that's exactly what's happened here with Pharaoh, with the Egyptian. You know, they had to bow to Am Yisrael for everything they did for them. Instead, they enslaved them. Why? Because Pharaoh says, I am the king, I am not the king, I am God. But how can he be a God if he owes Joseph and his children all the existence of Egypt? So what do?
You're jealous.
You put them down and you enslave them and you get rid of them, and that's why everything is okay. And by the way, this brings to a very interesting halacha. People don't realize it. So sometimes you do a favor to somebody and he wants to give you back the favor. It can be money, it can be anything. And we said, no, it's okay, don't give it to me. Let him give it back to you. It's sometimes a bigger mitzvah than giving. People don't realize it. Because he wants to feel good with himself. And you gave him something and now he wants to give it back to you in order so he can feel a mensch again. So what do you do to him? No. You prevent him from becoming a mensch again. You insult him. Here's a very interesting issue in the Gemara about, can a man make kiddushim to a woman with a present that he's getting from the woman? A man supposed to give shveprutah in order to make the kiddushim, to marry his wife. He has to give him something that is worth something.
Yes.
And with this, he makes the kiddushim. Yes. So the Gemara asks, is it possible that instead of he is giving her, she is giving him, and with this he is doing the kiddushim? What do you think?
I think it's okay. Not.
When a king gives you a present,
it's
100%, it's beautiful. When you give a king a present and he accepts it, how do you feel?
Good.
So the Gemara says, if this guy is a big minister,
yeah,
and it's an honor to give him a present.
Yeah.
With this honor that he accepts the present, he can do kiddushim to the wife. It's unbelievable. Think about it.
Yes.
But it's so true. Sometimes it's worth more than money, much more than money, when you are honored that the king received your gift. It says, I gave the king a gift and he accepted it. Wow. You see what the king is wearing there? I gave it to him. So with this joy, it's worth money. The man can marry a woman. And it's unbelievable. That's exactly the idea, that we don't realize what is giving and taking. Sometimes taking is giving. And sometimes giving is taking also. Because if I give because I want to get something out of it, that's not giving. That's not giving. But when I take something in order to give, it's not taking, it's giving. And this is what we learn from this Pharaoh. He's so ungrateful. And from the other side, we see Moshe Rabbeinu, how he is grateful. And the big lesson here is, first of all, why did it all start?
Because they left the ghetto.
Because they left the ghetto and they were mixing with the goyim. And by the way, that's the reason that the good ghetto become, unfortunately, the bad ghetto. Because also in Germany, where did they close the Jews? Did they take them from where they live to somewhere else? No. They just closed a few streets of the Jewish quarter, and now you stay here. Of course, took all the good houses and all the other good things and concentrate them in a very small area. But it was the same ghetto that yesterday they were proud to live there, and today it was a shame, and not only a shame, it was a disaster. And it all is what's written here in the book of Shmot. And nothing changed. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ma shehaya hu sheyeh. What was is what's going to happen. And unfortunately, we have to look around now, and the same thing is happening now. So we have to be very careful and understand and realize what is the real picture. And the real picture is that we have to pray to God, and God is going to save us. We have to keep our right way. And don't be tempted to the world around us, to the goyim. You know, it's a funny world. My father, Rav Shalom, when we used to go to Germany a few times for an exhibition, and he used to see the Turkish there, the Muslim Turkish, and he used to say, that's their punishment. They sent us out, they killed us and sent us out, and now they got much worse. And look what's happening today. Somebody sent me, and you know, it's Christmas time, and in all the big shops, they put a big Christmas tree in the middle, all the malls, all the thing. Yeah. So somebody sent me a picture from one of the places in Germany that the Muslims are destroying the Christmas tree in the middle of the mall.
Oh, that's
and nobody's right. Doing anything about it. And that's the punishment, yes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievable. But that's exactly also a lesson. The idea is that we have to understand and realize that whatever happens is from God. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes it's very hard to accept it. But if we look deep inside us, we will understand and realize that we are the one to blame. That this Pharaoh that is inside us is the one to blame. That he is trying to take us to the wrong place and do the wrong things. But, Baruch Hashem, this is Sefer HaGeulah. We don't have to get depressed, because if we go in the right way, God is there for us. And there is no doubt about it. And there is no Pharaoh and nobody that can destroy Am Yisrael. We also saw this during this generation. Who tried, whatever tried, didn't work. Am Yisrael chai v'kayam. And Baruch Hashem, we are now back in Eretz Yisrael, which is also a great privilege. But we have to remember, we have to learn and understand what is Shmot trying to tell us. And we're talking about the heroic point of women. There is a lot to talk about Parshat, all the Parshat. But I want to talk about the women in the Parsha. I don't know if you remember, we talked about in the past, We have Shifra and Pua, which are the midwives. But it's very strange. Why is the Torah calling them Shifra and Pua? And the Rashi explains a certain explanation. But still, the Rashi says that it's Yochevet and Miriam. So why is not the Torah just telling us Yochevet and Miriam? Why is the... Where are those... What's the meaning of those names? So the real truth is that Pharaoh approaches Yochevet and Miriam and he wants them to kill all the males that are being born. Now, why did he think that this is going to work? Why would Yochevet and Miriam listen to him? He was a very clever guy. What he did is, he went to the slums with a limousine and with all the big parade in front of him and after him, and he stopped his car in front of the house of Miriam, and then in front of the house of Yochevet, came in, he says, I love you, and I appreciate you, and I want to make you ministers in my regime. And from this day on, you're going to be called Shifra, and then he goes to the other one, you are going to go Pua. Everybody who had a high rank in Egyptian, he had a pay of the name of Pharaoh. Potiphar, which was the guy that bought Joseph. Joseph, Pharaoh called him Tzofnat Paaner, two pays. Potiphar, two pays. How Yosef managed to keep his own name? Because Yosef's got also a pay. Pay, Yosef. Also, Ephraim, who was really born in the Galut in Egypt, is called Ephraim with a pay. Because he was a prince in Egypt. And this is exactly what he's doing here. Shifra, a pay. Pua, a pay. So thinking he's going to give them, like you go to the queen in England, you are, it gives you a, how do you call, a knighthood?
Yeah.
Gives you, you feel great. And today it means nothing. But at all times, wow, it meant a lot. Now, think about Egypt. Pharaoh himself gives you a knighthood? Wow, you must feel in the clouds. But we're talking about Yochevet and Miriam. They didn't listen to him. And when he asked them, what are you doing? I asked you to kill the male born. And you have to, it also was very clever. He says, you are going to come to the wife that is pregnant, and you're going to check the minute the baby comes out. He told him, if it comes this way, it's a male. He did a whole investigation and a research to know exactly how to find out the quickest way to find out if it's a male or a female. And he had conclusion. They were very clever, the Egyptian. And he told them, if you see like this, it's a male, kill him on the spot. But the girls, you keep alive. Why? He says, there were born six. Each time, six were babies. Now, it can happen with six babies that not all of them survive. He says, if they will see that from six babies, three survives and three died, or four, or two, or three, they will think, what can we do? At least two survived and three survived. Till they will understand that only the girls survive, it will take time. In the meanwhile, the plan is working. But Yochevet and Miriam didn't accept it and didn't do it. And nevertheless, they also fed the babies and the mothers. So I asked them, why did you give them food? Not enough, you didn't kill them, you also helped them living? You, v'echyetenetam? Mom, what's going on here? Says, no, you don't understand. They were also very clever. What do you think? We're going to come there and kill the babies? We came with food, like with good intention. It says, we came to help you. The only problem was that till we got there, they already gave birth. Because they are chayot, they're like animals. They're not like the Egyptian women. That was a chayotena. That wasn't telling. So they even knew how to answer him in a clever way. Well, if we talk about Miriam was standing against her father. Because they said, בת ויקח אישה מבת בת לוי. So what's going on here? What's going on here? It's very strange. וילך איש מבית לוי ויקח את בת לוי. And who is this guy? Those are the parents of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Miriam came to her father, who was the Gdol Ador, and told him, your gezerah is worse than the gezerah of Pharaoh. Because why did he leave his wife, send her away? Because he didn't want to be together to bring children to the world which are going to be killed. And so thinking about it, he's right. So that's why I'm going to bring children to the world that is going to kill them on the spot. So Miriam stood in front of him and says, father, I'm sorry, what you are doing is worse than the gezerah of Pharaoh. He says, why? Pharaoh said, only the male, and you are going to prevent the born of even female. In other words, you are killing both, male and female. Pharaoh said, kill them here, but you are killing them here and in the next world. What does it mean? In order for the neshama get to the next world, it has to come to this world. If the neshama doesn't come to this world, it cannot go to the next world. That's the procedure. In other words, if you're not going to bring children to the world, those neshamas that are waiting up there in heaven cannot go down. And if they cannot go down, they cannot get to the next stage, which is Olam Haba. So in other words, you are worse than Pharaoh. So he heard this, Gdol Ador. This little girl is telling him off. What? This is very courageous. Now, think about Miriam standing in front of her father, which it's not like just another guy. This is Gdol Ador. This is for Rav Eliashiv, the Rav Avadia Yosef, or whatever you put it, whatever you want in. And it's much more. So he says, you're right. And he goes and takes his wife back. Then it's not ending what Miriam is doing. Miriam, Moshe is born. You have to throw him into the river. You know, after a certain time, they will find out. So they build this box and they put it on the river of the Yaor. And who is looking what's going to happen? Miriam. And nevertheless, she sees the daughter of Hitler, Yemach Shemo V'zichro, Pharaoh, going on the river and taking Moshe out. And she is approaching her, not knowing what's going to happen. You know, this is the daughter of Pharaoh. She says, but kill her. It's unbelievable. And look at Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh. They call it Batya, the daughter of God. She is the daughter of Pharaoh. And she saves a Jewish kid knowing he's Jewish. It's unbelievable. Some people say the Torah discriminates between men and women, female and male, and it's so stupid and so not true. Because the women are always there. But a lot of times you don't see them because they are the power behind. But sometimes when you see them, they say that Am Yisrael was saved from Egypt because of what? Nashim Tzidkaniyot. That's what's written. That's the Midrash. Of course, again, it's not a story. It's talking about powers. But you have to understand, we have to look in the right way on the Torah, understand what it's all about. So Batya is doing something unbelievable. And from this we learn another thing. Unfortunately, time is up, but I'm going to say. God wants something to happen. And we says God, that Pharaoh didn't know didn't want to know about Joseph. But one of the explainers says he didn't know the story of Joseph. What was happening with Joseph? The brothers thought that they can go against the dreams of Joseph. They were going to sell him, and the dreams are going to fade away. But what really happened is that them selling him was the reason for him, or for the dream to come true. And what's happening with Pharaoh? He didn't know the story. The same thing. He says, we want to kill the savior of Am Yisrael. And who is raising him? Pharaoh. It's in the house of Pharaoh, in the palace. Pharaoh is raising the who? Who? The one who is going to make an end to him. He is raising him up. You have to understand, raising him up means much more than what we understand. Because he gives him education. He gives him the tools to negotiate with kings. Because think of Moshe living, let's say, in the ghetto. Doesn't know how to behave, how to talk with those high-ranked people, with those princes and kings. But now, he got the best education. In other words, God prepared them for his job. When he's telling God, who am I to go? He says, what do you mean, who am you? You've got Aaron. He says, what are you talking about? Aaron knows how to talk with the king. Why do you think I put you in the palace of Pharaoh? For you to learn how to talk with him. So, this is the way God works. So sometimes we don't see the picture. We don't realize what's about. When we start revealing another layer and another layer, we find out that everything is for the good. Look at this Pharaoh. He thought he's going to end Am Yisrael. And he is the one
who saved
Am Yisrael. He, giving the tools to Moshe and educate him in the best way there is, because he had the best teachers. And he was a prince in Egypt. This is, well, there is a lot to talk about. The way Moshe behaves when he's got all the power in his hand and he can live a life of a prince in Egypt. And maybe become a pharaoh even, who knows. But he leaves everything. Because he's got this inside him, this feeling of justice, doing the right thing. And this is our Savior, which is, maybe next parasha we'll talk about a little about Moses to understand who this Moses is. Yeah.